Okay, good morning. Let's try that again. I am not Pastor Heath. Of course, you can see that. I'm the generic pastor. Pat's the generic announcer, and I'm the generic pastor. So you're going to have to put up with me this morning, but I appreciate that. Oh, and the children are dismissed. I don't want to forget that because I'll be getting looks. And so, yeah, let's let the kids go. And meanwhile, you can turn in your Bibles to 1 John. The last sermon I did, I started the chapter or the book, actually, of 1 John. And so I'm just going to continue on with that. And hopefully that'll be something that we can glean from God's word here this morning as we do this. If you're visiting, welcome. It's great to have you here. And we are a Bible-believing church. We preach from the Bible. We preach chapter by chapter, verse by verse, book by book. Not necessarily in that order either, but that's what we do, expository teaching. So if you come here, you're going to get the Word of God because that's what we believe. We put our faith, hope, and trust in Jesus Christ, in Him crucified, like Paul says, and we believe God's Word. God has communicated to us so that we can know who He is through His Word. And we're gonna talk a little about that and the importance of that, of course. But first of all, let's pray. Father God, we just pray, God, that You would bless this service, Father, that You would speak to our hearts. Holy Spirit, fill us to overflowing, God, that we can learn of You, God, through Your Word. I pray that You just help give me the words, God, as we read this text and get the most out of it we can. Speak to our hearts, God, and draw us to Yourself above all else. We thank You for it. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So first thing I just want to share a little bit. I'm asking for a little bit of grace in this. It's been kind of a hard week. I lost my sister on Wednesday, I think it was. You know it's coming. We knew that it was end of life, but it's when you have to actually walk through it, and you can prepare all you want. Oh yeah, I'm prepared. Yeah, she's in heaven. I know that. I'm prepared, but you actually have to walk through it to actually know, and it's a process. You don't grieve for a day or two and then get over it. You go through, like I say, a process when you do that. And so just bear with me a little bit on that. I appreciate that. You people that know me well know our history also. And it kind of brings up, we actually lost a daughter also. And that's, these kinds of things, they come back around. You never get over it. You get through it some way. And you continue to get through it as you lean on God. And that's the difference. That's what brought us through what we've gone through and is continuing to bring us through. And that's the Word of God and God Himself. God loves us and He cares about these things. And that's the beauty of it. And that's why we're here today. We want to hear from God. God, what do You got to say? And that's what we're doing. We're going to open the Word. The 1 John, we're going to go through this and see what God has to say to us this morning, okay? So we went through chapter 1 last week. I'm going to go ahead and read the text first, and then we'll go through that and look at it a little bit. First of all, chapter 1, we'll be in chapter 2. In chapter 1, it talks about the Word of life, and John talks about walking in the light, and we talked about that last week and the importance of that. This is stuff that we need to hear. We need to know. God is communicating to us how we should walk, what we should look like as believers. And so these are important things to know. And God doesn't leave us in the dark. He says, hey, this is what I want you to do. So he has these instructions and things for us. And we talked about that last week, or not last week, but last time I preached anyway, about walking in the light. And God is light. And also that God is love, too. And I don't comprehend these things. I don't have all the answers. I don't know everything. But God, the Holy Spirit, gives us, leads us into all truth as we study the Word of God. That's the important thing. We need to do it. We have a part to play. We need to do our part. We need to go to the Word and say, God, I want to know you through your Word. That's how I'm going to know you. And so that's why we have to read the Bible. I mean, I'm just going to tell you, that's it. And look, I'm preaching to myself too, okay? Because I need all this just like you. Yeah, we're all broke, right? We all need a Savior. And this is a hospital. This is who we are. We come together as broken people and we love each other. We pray for each other and we come alongside one another. And that's what we do. That's what's so great about this body. And I'm so thankful for you guys and being there for me and all the things I've gone through. And I appreciate it. I thank God and I pray for Elk Plainers, if you will. So that's what we're here to do, and we're gonna learn a little bit more about God as we go through this. First, let me read chapter 2, starting. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is propitiation for our sins, and not our sins only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And by this we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. Whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him, truly, the love of God is perfected. By this, we may know that we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. And I'm going to stop right there. I'm going to read all the way through to verse 15. So let's keep going. He says, a new commandment. Behold, I am writing you no new commandment, but an old commandment that you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word that you heard. After the same time, it is a new commandment, that I am writing to you, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away, and the true light is already shining. Whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. I am writing to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. I am writing to you, fathers, because you know who is from the beginning. I am writing to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. I write to you, children, because you know the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the evil one. Let's pray. Father God, I pray that you bless this word, God, and I pray that we write your word in our heart that we might not sin against you, God. We need your word. We know that we, as it says, need to keep your commandments, God. If we truly love you and we truly walk in the light and we desire to do that, we want to do that. Help us, God. Equip us, enable us to be able to do that, Father. We thank you. We love you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So, first thing is that John says, let's go back to the start of this. I have to read my notes because I can't see or hear either one anymore, it seems like. So they're big, so I can read them. But I did actually go through it, and I'm a little bit prepared, I hope, Lord willing. Again, the recap is John talking about walking in the light as God is light, and light and holiness and darkness and sin, like the contrast between the two. And you ever notice how, like these places that are like a den of sin, if you will, they're all in darkness. It's always about trying to hide their sin. It don't work. All is light to God. We don't hide our sin from God. It doesn't work that way. Walking in the light, God is light and holiness, darkness, sin. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and the people love the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. And this is such a great verse, because we see it so much in our world today. You know, the light is here. The light has come. But people don't want to believe because they love the darkness. And that's where they live, and they live in that. And they don't want to hear about it. You've all seen people that are just so defiant against the Bible and the name of Jesus and all these things, because the light shines on their sin and they walk in darkness, and they don't want that. They hate that. And so that's what this is talking about. Okay, so chapter 2, verse 1, he says, my little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. Okay, so what John is saying here, that the first thing he says, he calls you little children. That's, you know, that's the way God looks at us. We're his children. And John's kind of bringing that out. Little children, I am writing to you. I am writing to you. What does that say to us? It says that he's writing to us. We need to be reading. We need to be listening. How are we going to know these things if we're not reading them and we're not listening to what he's writing? So he's admonishing them. Hey, I'm writing this stuff, so you need to read it. You need to hear it, and you need to listen to it. Because you can hear, but we don't always listen. And I'm guilty of that with my wife maybe sometimes. Once in a while, maybe she's talking, and it's like, what was that again? My bad, but... We hear sometimes, but we don't always listen. And we have to make sure. And John says, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. That's the point of that. God doesn't want us to sin. We're called to be holy people. And here's the thing. I'm going to say it, and he's going to call me out on it. But it's the so that, and this is kind of a thing we've had going on, in writing these things to you so that. I had to put that in there. But it's already in there, so I get a buy on that. But I'm writing these things so that, and this is the purpose of his writing, as believers, we shouldn't be sinning, right? So he's writing to us, and Paul says, I'm writing, read the Bible. You know, why do we read the Bible? First, so we can know who God is, know what sin is. That's why he's writing. We need, how do we know what, if we don't read the Bible, what sin is? Am I sinning or am I not? Is this a sin? Or you need to read the Bible. So I'm going to drill you on it, and myself, read the Bible, because that's how we know. That's how we know who God is. That's how we know what sin is. That's how we know who Jesus is, why we need a Savior, because of sin. So all these things he's telling, he's writing so that we can know these things and we can apply them to our life and go, yeah, yes, this is the way I want to live. This is what I want to do. This is the person that I want to be. And that, again, I'll talk, needs to be our identity as believers. And we'll talk a little bit more about that. You know, the old saying, ignorance of the law, no excuse. We don't have an excuse. And so it's our responsibility to go to the Word of God and read and know what God's trying to tell us so we can live accordingly to that, so that you may not sin. You know, we hate sin, and we acknowledge it, and as believers, we should be repenting. And this is a lifestyle, you know, a lifestyle of, you know, I don't do it all right. I make mistakes. I fall down. But I repent. God, forgive me. Man, I want to do this right. You know, forgive me. And you go on. That's what you do. You get back on the horse and you keep going. That's what we do. That's what we're called to do. We don't do it all right. Nobody does, but Jesus did. And so that's a process. You fall down, you ask God to forgive you, you get back on the horse, and you keep going, okay? So the goal is to don't sin. And like I say, it's a mindset. You know, we have to have that mindset that, yeah, man, I don't want to sin. I want to please God. I love how it talks about, and I should have pulled up the verse, but I didn't, about how we can be a fragrance to God. That's what I want to be. I want to be a fragrance to God. God is pleased with the things that I do and the things that I think and the things that I say and the way that I act. It can be a fragrance to God. Wow, how cool is that? That is awesome to think that we can be a fragrance to God, a sweet smell to him. That's what I want to be. And that's what he's calling us to be. And so we're told not to sin. We know that. And we have to change our minds. You know, it's a renewing of our minds. The flesh wants to do what the flesh wants to do. And our mindset, like I say, you know, we have to change that. And that's the renewing of our minds. We're talking about the renewing of our minds. We do that through Scripture, by reading Scripture and learning these things so that, no, I'm not going to do that. The Bible says this, you know, God says this, and be this way, don't be this way. And so we read the Bible and we learn these things as we journey with him in this life that we are in, and it can be challenging at times, you know as well as I do, but the renewing of our minds by the Word of God. But he goes on to say, he says that, but if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Wow, how great is that? We have an advocate with the Father. 1 Timothy 2:5, for there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man Christ Jesus. The problem is sin, the solution is Jesus. And Jesus is our advocate. You know, I don't know if you ever had a lawyer before, but a lawyer pleads your case. Well, Jesus is pleading our case. Man, let me tell you, I need somebody pleading my case because I got a lot. So I can really identify with this. Jesus, it's the love of God. This is what he's showing us, how much God loves us. He loves us. Even not only did Jesus die for us, but then he becomes an advocate for us. Oh, man, it's Jeff. But Jeff, you know, he struggles with these things. And, you know, and it's like, man, God, how great are you? Jesus, you're an advocate for me. An advocate is one who defends. He defends me. It's like, man, Jesus does that for me. You know, he supports me. These are descriptions of this. He promotes me. One who pleads the case is the definition. And Jesus is pleading my case. Praise his name. Thank you, God, that we have an advocate, Jesus the Christ, the righteous. Okay, verse 2. He is the propitiation also for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. So this is something that is very controversial, somewhat controversial. But first, the word propitiation carries a basic idea of appeasement or satisfaction, satisfying specifically toward God. And one thing I liked about it, propitiation is a two-part act that involves appeasing the wrath of God and being reconciled to him. So, I mean, how great is that? You know, these things are, when we hear these things, it's like, man, God did this. God loves me that much. God is doing these things because God knows how we are. And that's why he's done all these things, because he knows the heart of man. And that's what we're talking about. That's getting right down to it, the heart of man. You know, and this is a part, he says, the New Testament, the act of propitiation, always refers to the work of God and not the sacrifices or gifts of man. Because what do we see in the world? The world's attempt to reach God is to bring sacrifices and to try to reach God through, oh, I'm going to crawl on my knees and people are doing all kinds of things to try to reach God. And yet the Bible tells me that God reached down to us. Amen. How great is that? That's the difference between when you look at world religions and you look at Christianity. They're saying that, well, we got to be good, and we got to do all these things for God. We get to God. And then, you know, if I just, you know, ride my bike and go door to door, that don't cut it. That's not it. God reached down to you and me. That's a love of God. That's how much he loves you. I love you this much to give my son, Jesus Christ, on the cross. That's what God did for us. That's the difference between Christianity and the world's attempt to reach God. Man, praise his name for that. How great is that? Okay, let's keep going here. To the second part, and not only for our sins only, but also for the sins of the whole world. So we ask ourselves, and we talked a little bit about this yesterday, and this is somewhat controversial, and I think it's just an understanding of it. But we know, according to Scripture, that not all mankind's going to be saved. Some are not going to be saved. Okay? So how do we reconcile this verse? You know, but Jesus not only died for our sins, but for the sins of the whole world. Well, what does that mean? What I believe is it's pertaining to the sufficiency of Christ. Christ is sufficient for the sins of the whole world, and even beyond, if there was such a thing. But that's the efficiency of Christ. His sacrifice was more than enough for the whole world, from Adam and Eve to the very last person. That's the all-sufficiency of Christ. And I believe that's what he's talking about when he says that, you know, for the whole world. And so, and there's a difference, you know. But we're not here to get into the Calvinism, the L, the limited atonement. If you know Calvinism, that's the L. But we're not going to get into that. We're going to keep going here because there's a lot of good material. So verse 3 says, and by this we know. Okay, who wants to know? I want to know. I want to know. He says, by this we have come to know him, if we keep his commandments. Uh-oh, look out. We know. I want to know. And this is what he's saying. This is how important this is. And let's see, I got to make sure. Okay. He says, and by this we know that, excuse me, we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. Wow, that's a big statement. And I think it's not, we need to understand that it's not keeping his commandments that we're justified by, but because we're justified, we keep his commandments. You understand what I'm saying? You see, because I'm saved, I keep his commandments. I want to do these things. I want to be that guy, you know, because I'm saved. Not to be saved. The world's saying, do these things and you'll be saved. And that's not what he's saying. He's saying, because you're saved, because Jesus died in your place, because he's a propitiation for your sins, he's a substitute, he's all these things, because you're saved, you keep his commandments. That's the difference, what he's talking about. And, you know, and here's the thing. We need to ask ourselves, do I keep his commandments? Is that my heart's desire? Is that who I am? Is that my identity? And I'm going to ask a lot of questions here because we need to ask ourselves. I need to ask myself. Every day I need to ask myself, man, am I doing it right, God? I want to keep going on this. I want to make sure that I'm pleasing to you. I want to be that aroma to you, God. And so we need to examine our hearts every single day. God, am I right? Where am I at with you, God? I want to make sure. I want to make sure. Not to be saved, but because I'm saved. I want to do these things to please you. Look, you talk about opportunity, okay? I've said that was my word a while back, opportunity. But the opportunity is this, that today I have this day, and it's an opportunity to glorify God. That's what it is. I have that opportunity. What am I going to do with it? Am I going to squander it here or there? Am I examining my heart and my life and making sure that I'm making the most of this opportunity that God has given me, this life, to bring him glory and to be that fragrance to him? Is that my heart's desire? These are hard questions, and you have to ask yourself, and so do I. Man, is that the road I'm on? Is that the path that I'm on? I want to be that person. I want to be that guy. So we need to examine our hearts. And I, you know, we just went through First and Second Samuel and looking at David's life, and it's like, man, my takeaway was like, dude, if David can do all this stuff and be who he was, and still be a man after God's own heart. Wow, there's hope for me. How about that? You know? And it's so true. When we look at David and you look at his life, you know, when you go through this and you see all the things, that it's like, man, this guy, I don't feel so bad. Kind of feeling pretty good about myself. Not really, but, you know. But it's easy, you know, to see all the things he did. But God says that he was a man after God's own heart. And it's like, what, David? Yeah, really? But because it's a heart issue. It's not the things that we do. God's looking at our heart, our motives. Where's your heart at? What are you going to do? That's what I always say. Here's another one for Heath. What are you going to do, Jeff? What are you going to do? He always says that. What are you going to do? And it's true. It matters what I do. You know, where is my heart? I have to check myself all the time. Man, God, my heart's got to be in the right place. I want to make sure, because I want to take this opportunity to glorify God. You know what? When I stand before him, that's what's going to matter. Those things that we did like that, those things have eternal value, eternal consequence. We have this gift of life to be able to glorify God, to bring him glory, to love each other and pray for each other and do the work that he has set before that we should walk in. What a great opportunity. Let's use it the best that we can. Let's examine ourselves each and every day and check ourselves and make sure, you know, I'm that guy. I'm going to be that guy. God, help me. I fell down, man. I blew it big time, but I'm getting back up and going. See, that's a difference. That's what we do. We just keep going. Repent. Turn from your sin, just like what Jesus tell the woman, said, go and sin no more. And that's what we're called to do. Go and sin no more. Okay, so verse 4, he says, whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments is a liar. Wow, ouch. That hurts. He is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Who is the truth? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Again, it's a heart issue. You know, I want to make sure that my heart is right. Yeah, you think God doesn't know what you're thinking, what's going on in your heart? You can say whatever you want, but saying doesn't mean anything. It's your actions. It's your heart that God sees. That's what matters. That's where the rubber meets the road. Man, I'm preaching myself, let me tell you. I'm the guy first in line, like Paul, the chief of all sinners. Yep, I'm right behind Paul, I think, if not in front of him. But this is what I'm talking about, you know. Whoever says, I know him, people say they're a Christian. Yeah, I know Jesus. I know. And you look at their life and like, what? Yeah. Where's the evidence? If you really know him, if you truly are born again, if you truly are regenerate, he says you will keep his commandments. That's what you'll do. That's the person that you're going to be. That becomes your identity, who you are. I'm a believer. I'm a blood-bought saint of the Most High God. That's who I am. And I'm not ashamed. And I'm going to go out that way. That's the way I'm going. I'm getting older now, so I'm kind of rounding third base, running to home. And I want to make sure I'm full tilt boogie when I'm going, man. God, I'm going to slide into home base, man. That's what I want to do. Keep going. Keep that motor running, man, as best as you possibly can. Again, it's an opportunity. This is what we have. This, you only get one shot. You don't get to redo it. There's no do-overs. There's no video film that we can look to. Well, let's see, you get to, okay, yeah. No, it don't work that way. This is it, my friend. Today's all we have. Today is, could be the last day of the rest of our lives. And that's the way we need to be living, as though it was. Man, I'm going to go see Jesus tonight. Wow, how am I going to live my day out today? What am I going to do? And it's just challenging ourselves, you know. Man, He says, you know, if you know him, you keep his commandments. God, we need to do this. We need to be deliberate in that. It's not just something that happens. You don't just happen to be a good Christian. It's something you're deliberate about, and you pursue it because it means everything to you. And that's the way it works. Otherwise, he says you're a liar. And this is some pretty harsh words. God doesn't pull no punches, you know. He's offending everybody. So that's just the way it is. I didn't write it. I'm just telling you what he says. You guys know it. And so he says, and the truth is not in him. Ooh, Jesus is the truth. The truth is not in him. You know, and I want to make sure that I'm pursuing truth in my life. That's a big deal. You know how hard it is to tell the truth all the day long, every day. It's hard to do that, but that's what we're called to do. And it's not, again, this is what we have to make sure we understand. It's not that you do tell the truth every single day because God's going to justify you because of it. No, it's because, again, we're already justified and that we do it to please God because we love him. Because he gave his son and that was a great sacrifice. So I want to give back to him and I can give my obedience to him. That's a sacrifice that I bring to the Lord, is my obedience. Here, Lord, I'm going to be obedient and I want that be that fragrance to you, God. That's what I can do. I get to do that. And you can do that too. And that's what we're called to do. That's what we want to do. And so he says, make sure that you examine your heart and make sure that you want to know the truth. You want to be truthful. You want this because God calls me to do that. And the second part of that is the love of God. Am I loving people? What? Verse 5, but whoever keeps his word in him, truly the love of God is perfected. So by keeping his word, the love of God is perfected in me. And so that's how important that is. And by this we know. Here again, by this we know. How do I know? People say, you can't know your actions. Oh, yes, you can. You can. God, he's telling us these things. This is what you need to do. You need to examine your heart. Make sure that I've been a Christian for a long time, so I look back and say, am I more and more loving? Do I have that love of God in me, that love for humanity as a whole? It doesn't mean, you know, you're going to have times where that guy really made me mad, you know, or stuff like that. But there's that in you, and it's the Holy Spirit. It's a spirit of love in us that goes out and says, man, I want to help that person. I love that guy, and I'm so, you know, I want to see him come to Christ, and I have a burden for him. I say it all the time. You know, we used to sing a song, give me a burden, O Lord, I pray. Give me a burden, some soul to save. And that's what we want to do. That's the kind of people that we want to be, is ones that are pursuing truth, that are pursuing love. Love God and love your neighbor. Walk in truth. Walk in the light. These are things that true believers truly do. Do they do it all right? Of course not. None of us do. We won't. We never will. Not that I've attained or ever will attain, but I press on. That's what we do. We just keep going. Okay, I'm going to try to wrap it up here real quick. And it's, again, it goes back to the intent of the heart. God's examining our hearts all the time, but are we examining our hearts? We are the ones that should be examining our own heart. Man, I want to make sure my heart's right before God. That's what matters. What out of that, you know, your actions will always follow your beliefs. And it's so true. And that's why he says these things. You know, if you're not walking in the light, if you're walking in darkness, you know, that's who you are. That's your identity. You know, we say, people say I'm this, say I'm going to do this, say I'm that. But your actions tell who you are. That is the truth. And that's what we need to be examining. Man, I want to make sure in my heart that my actions are going to be what God wants them to be, because he's calling me to do that. Okay, real quick. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. Christ is our example. We have an example even to do these things that he did. Follow Christ's example and live the way he did, because you love him, because he saved you. That's why you do it. And let me see here. I know, and like I say, these are hard questions, but they're questions that we need to continuously ask ourselves, and, you know, examining our hearts before God. And that's basically the message that I wanted to get out to you guys today, is just live it out. Live it out as though God could read your mind and your heart, because he can, okay? He knows. And you're not fooling anybody. Don't lie to yourself. You know, don't lie to God, because it don't work, okay? It just don't work. You're only fooling yourself is all you're doing. So my challenge is, I'm just going to go right for sake of time. And there's just a couple questions that I had. Real quick, and the rest of it talks about young men and older men and stuff, and he's talking about in our relationship with God, new Christians, people have been a Christian for a long time, and people who are mature Christians in their walk. And he talks about that, so you can read through it. But I'll probably, next time I preach, I'll probably go back over some of this and keep going through 1 John, because the material is so good. And so basically I'm going to conclude with a few questions, the same thing that we've been talking about. But, you know, I want to challenge myself first and foremost, because I'm not going to challenge anybody else if I can't do it myself. And so I want to challenge. It's that so that, you know, the purpose is so that God is glorified. That's what this is about. You have an opportunity, this life. What are you going to do with it? This is your life. This is what you did. I want to make sure that my life counts and that I did it for Jesus. And again, I don't do it all right. I'm far from it. I don't, you know, think, oh, well, he's got it all together and I'm the, no, I'm just like you, guarantee you. But, you know, I just need to ask myself, am I becoming more and more loving? Do I see the love of God being perfected in me? Do I have that genuine love for my brother that I care? Man, you know, I really do care about these people. I really do love these people. And, you know, these are the things that we have to ask ourselves. Do I genuinely care about truth? About, oh, man, I hope that wasn't a lie, man. I don't want to tell a lie, or I don't want to be deceiving in any way. I want to walk in truth as Jesus walked in truth and was the truth. And so these are the things that we need to ask ourselves. You know, live it out before God. Live your heart out in the open before God and say, man, I want to be truthful. I want to walk in love, and I want to love you first, God, and then love my neighbor. And that's the commandments right there. Love God and love your neighbor. And so I just challenge myself, and I challenge you that this week as you go out, just be aware, man, am I loving people as I'm driving down the road? No, forget that one. I don't want to. That one's kind of over the top almost. But yeah, just make sure that, you know, asking yourself, examining yourself, there's so much to that that we can do with that. And that's what God wants us to do, because that's what he's doing. He's examining our heart. We need to do that too. Am I loving? Am I truthful? Am I doing these things? Because Jesus is the advocate. He's pleading my case all the time. I don't want to mount up all these big, man, he's got a lot of work to do. I want to make it good for him. I want to please him with all my heart. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for the opportunity to come and to learn of you through your word, God, and to apply it to our lives, because that's what it's about. We don't want to just hear, and we don't want to just say that, oh yeah, I'm a Christian, I'm a believer, but there's no evidence of it, God. I pray that the evidence will be more and more and more evident in my life and in your life, God. Help us to live it out this week, God, and every day from this day forward, knowing that we have an opportunity to bring you glory. Praise your holy name. We thank you and we love you, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.